Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, although our Twitter is probably the most active, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think Facebook, too.
Facebook? Okay. We've kind of neglected Instagram.
Well, we've had an issue with Instagram.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure it out. We've been figuring it out since October, but we're going to get to it eventually. Coming up later in the show, we're going to have one of our old friends and just all around good dude.
Super fun.
Brett Hedekin. He's a Stanley Cup champion, a two-time Olympian, and currently he does some analysis for San Jose, the San Jose Sharks and NBCSN, and we'll be meeting the Sharks later in the week at home. It will be the second time we're going to play him this season, which is kind of interesting. We're getting it out of the way super early in the year, but it's always fun to have his perspective, being an ex-player and also doing the TV thing too. So
yeah,
we're looking forward to that. And, you know, of course, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room, the Erik Karlsson trade and why, you know, we didn't get him.
Why?
I don't know that we really had a shot other than, yeah. The more and more that we're like starting to read coming out post trade is that, like, you know, we were a team of interest for him just because he has friends here in the city.
I think he maybe wanted to be here more than it was a possibility.
Because we remember last year at the NHL All-Star game here, he came to the, because it was on Gasparilla. He came to the rink with Victor Hedman. They were both dressed up as Pirates.
Yeah, and there's somebody else like in the organization that he's very close with as well.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that, how the Sharks season is going, and all, you know, they're getting ready for the All-Star game there. So it'll be
exciting.
Nice to talk to them about that. But in the meantime, you know, Dory and I, you know, first segment, we kind of like to chit chat about, you know, the week that has been. It's been a good week. The endings have been good. It's not always been pretty.
No.
But, you know.
I had a sad.
You had a sad? What? Yes, we're going to get into that.
I
almost called you when I saw it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to let her have her moment. But let's kind of just talk about chronologically what has gone on this week. We saw Columbus in town. The goaltender was pulled. We beat them pretty handedly. There was some kind of incident with their goaltender, Bobrovsky. He
kind of weird.
Being suspended, but
yeah. Very hush hush, and nobody kind of knows really what happened. But you know.
An incident
occurred
where he was suspended. But then we move on to the Carolina game, which was kind of interesting because I'm sitting there, probably like most of you, going, are we actually going to show up to play this game? And then they end up winning within the last 10 minutes of the game. Like, no joke. I'm sitting there at the end of the first period and my friend and I look at each other and we go, really? 3 shots on goal? In 20 minutes? Really? That's what we're getting tonight? Okay. So then we sit through the second period. Wasn't much better. And then with about 10 or 11 minutes left in the third period, I look at my friend and I go, hey, whenever you want to go, let me know.
And then
she, like, literally, they start scoring and they end up winning the game. I joked with her that is it a game? Within a game to see how long we can like decide not to show up and then decide that we're going to play and then still beat the other team and beat the shots on goal and all that? Or is it a matter of another team coming into our building, and every time we have a team come into our building or every time we go to another team's building, we see high intensity. Like they want to beat the best team in the league because it kind of is like a rate of how they're playing,
right.
If they can beat the best team in the league. So is it a matter of we just let them get all their energy out and their intensity, and then by the last 10 minutes, 12 minutes of the game, they're running on fumes, but our guys are so well-conditioned that they can keep going, and then the goals just start going in.
I know. It is weird. It does seem like...
Look, they're not doing the first one I said. They're,
no.
It's not a game within a game. These guys are professional athletes. But I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, another team can go really hard with, like, two lines, three lines that can maybe score, and they come out really hard, and they have all this energy and, you know, adrenaline, and then within the last 10 minutes, maybe that adrenaline wears thin, they get tired, but our guys are just so used to playing a full 60 minutes that they just end up picking up where the other team left off, and then they end up winning. I don't know.
I don't know if it's that or if it's just that. I mean, hockey, and we say this every season, is a game of ebbs and flows. And maybe it's possible that this team is that good that their ebbs really aren't ebbs. Well, it's possible.
It's frustrating as a spectator. Because
It is.
You know how good this team is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying Carolina isn't a good team. Every night, every team has a chance to win on every night that they play in the NHL. Because
mm-hmm.
you said ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the Lightning are a better team than the Carolina Hurricanes, even when they bring their best effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So it's just frustrating as a person sitting in the stands to see your team kind of just not showing up. There was a reverse call in the Carolina game, which was just crazy, on the Braden Point goal,
mm-hmm.
With an offside. And oh my gosh, that building went nuts. To their defense, they didn't show the right angle on the replay mm-hmm. to see Tyler Johnson skate as he was going into the bench, mm-hmm. being offside. Right call. Kind of wonky. I don't know that they're going to change this rule, but I'm like, I feel like if the guy isn't in the play and he's like got 1 foot on the bench.
Yeah.
Because of where the bench entrances
yeah,
are.
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, it's going to have repercussions on the too many men on the ice call
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
So I don't see them like overturning this call, this like rule mm-hmm. in the entire league, but it's just kind of. Just one of those things.
I think offsides is that rule that every single game you can kind of look at it and go, that guy was offsides. Or, I don't know, really? Was he offsides? That seems like a kind
of... Because had we not had the replay,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a good goal.
Yeah. That's then, what I'm saying. Like, you know, we could probably sit there, like in football, you know, with holding. There's holding on every snap. It's just who gets caught.
Right.
Because there's been several times where you're looking at both the Lightning and whoever their opponent is and going... That looked a little offsides to me.
Right.
And when you have a Braden Point, especially and a Matthew Joseph, I mean, these guys are insanely fast.
Right.
I think it's even harder. And I think Braden Point, as fast as he is, I think he's one of those players that refs kind of before the game are like, hey, we really have to watch his skates because he's so fast.
Right.
Not that he's trying to be offsides. Nobody tries to do it.
But he's just so
fast. That it's, you know, these things that you have to look at. Are you that worried about, you know, Braden Coburn being offsides? Probably not.
Right.
Are you more worried about Joseph or Point or even Tyler Johnson? Yeah, you have to because of their speed.
But kudos to the Carolina coaching staff and the people up in the box looking at it and seeing that. I mean, it was offside.
It was.
It's infuriating if you're the other team and it gets called back, but it's all right. We still won the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going, oh gosh, here we go. This is going to be one of those games. And then not as much so in the Buffalo game, but, you know, they were behind. They let themselves get behind.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up, Louis Domingue, you know, making the saves that he needs to make. In order
12,
to still
12 and, wins this year, so
yeah,
far?
And Andre Vasilevskiy in the Carolina game, making the stops that he needs to make to keep his team still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just and Louis Domingue doing it in Buffalo, and we still come out and we win the game handedly.
I know we said it a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. I think the goalie coach Franz Jahn doesn't get enough credit sometimes.
Yeah.
For the mental preparation that the Tampa Bay Netminders have and have had mm-hmm. since he's been on staff.
It's almost like it doesn't matter who's in net for them.
Well.
We know. But do you know what I mean?
It does. It does feel that way, yeah.
The defenders are going to show up.
Yeah.
The forwards are going to, you know, be defensively minded and back check and make sure that they're, you know, responsible on defense, you know, mm-hmm. just as much as they are by scoring goals. It's just, I'm going to sound like such a homer, but we're that good.
I know. They're that good. And that's why when they don't play a full game like Carolina.
Right.
You just kind of go, wow. I mean, it's frustrating, sure.
But then
you're like, wow, they're that good.
Right. Because good teams find ways to win.
And it's not even, honestly, with them, I just think talent wins out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're as deep on both sides as they are, it's just gonna
And that's a great segue to what we're going to talk about next. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. I mean, I feel you. It's like kind of when Philpola went. Yeah. I felt it.
Yeah.
But Slater Cuckoo has been traded to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Our depth, Eric Chernak, coming in and showing that, hey, guys, you can't send me down. I'm this good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they sent Slater Cuckoo off to Syracuse to get some conditioning in so he could play.
Right.
And, get some ice time. And he was a class guy through the whole thing. He never showed a frustration that he wasn't playing, that he was sitting out, or that he was being sent back. He was just happy to play and be on a team.
Last year when it happened and he got sent down, because remember he made the roster last year, and then they sent him down. And I think he basically, at that point, it wasn't frustration. He just said he was kind of disappointed.
Right.
But that he was there to win. He was there to play.
Right.
And you know, move on. And that was really the most of any kind of anything. Because this is a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And first-round picks, you expect to play.
Right.
And, you know, he had some injury issues when they got drafted.
Right.
And then it was like every time he got healthy and they were expecting big things from him in training camp, he got, you know,
Or there was somebody who just showed up. And it wasn't that his play wasn't good. It was just that theirs was maybe molded just a little bit better with the rest of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nothing. It's no commentary on the way he plays.
No, clearly. He's a good.
Chicago isn't going to pick up a player that's not good.
At this point, probably not.
Right.
I mean,
they need all the help they can get, really.
I know. I was thinking to myself, now watch Chicago. Watch Slater Cuckoo turn into be like the next Duncan Keith in Chicago.
Right.
Not that, but maybe
some,
a Brent Seabrook or
but
something in Chicago.
He's going to get play time.
Oh, he's going to get play.
Which is what he should have as a first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that his play is bad.
No.
It just, it wasn't the right fit. It was just always
not always
the right
timing.
Time.
Yeah.
Timing
it was always
was
seemed
off.
Like a timing thing for him. And so I'm happy that he gets the, you know, get
And he's with your Chicago team.
Sure.
Like that's your other team that you pay attention to.
Yeah.
See?
It all works out. No, it's just, I really do like him a lot. I think he's a good kid. And honestly, there's been a lot of times where I'm a little, I don't want to say shocked because I don't think that's the proper word for it. But, you know, really like, wow, they've really showed a lot of patience.
Yes.
Especially through the early injuries that he had and then not making the team. And before Mr. Brisebois took over as the general manager, he was the general manager in Syracuse. So, you know, that there was a lot of chatting back and forth between him and Mr. Iserman about, you know, how you're going to use, you know, I know people find this hard to believe, but the Syracuse Crunch's purpose is not just to feed us hockey players.
Right.
Like they're a legitimate minor, you know, AHL hockey team. So the fact that that's what they're a feeder, they're part of the feeder system, but you know, they're going after it too. And they're doing amazingly well. And they've done incredibly well as, you know, in previous recent years. So my point being is I think the fact that Coach Cooper and Julien Brisebois and Steve Yzerman always had that nice line of communication open about there were times maybe where it got a little panicky in the past after they drafted him. We should bring him. We should start him now. And they never did that. They always kept like a very, I think, patience, let things develop as they need to. And I really think that, you know, when we talked about Julien Brisebois taking over general manager, that got overlooked a little bit. That the reason that these guys in Syracuse are able to plug and play with the big guys down here I think Julien Brisebois being the general manager there, I think that was kind of a foreshadowing of how he would handle being a general manager in the NHL. Just my opinion.
Absolutely. So
but wish him the best, of course.
Absolutely.
I don't know what we're really getting with Jan Ruta.
I don't know either. And we're getting a fifth round draft pick, so we're starting.
Kind of an older guy for being a newer player in the league because he played for, you know, 6-7 seasons or something in his home, you know, over in Europe. So it's not like it's a little different. It's going to be interesting.
It's a depth move.
It's definitely a depth move.
So welcome and good luck to you, Slater Cuckoo. Are you okay?
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm okay.
I don't believe you.
I'm okay.
Give it time.
I'll give it time. I just need a break.
Well, the All-Star break's coming up. So we'll have a couple days to just kind of get right with the world.
Or hope that nothing happens.
Yeah, because the trade deadline.
Well, no, I don't.
Oh, don't even say it.
You're the one that talked about it last week.
I know,
I'm just saying.
Now you got me buying into your thought process about it.
I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. Now I don't want them being there. Yeah. But we do.
Anyway, all right, we're going to talk about the All-Star festivities that are going to be happening in San Jose in a couple weeks with our guest in the next segment. So stick around. We're going to be speaking with Brett Hedekin with the San Jose Sharks when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And let's jump in with our guest this week, a friend of the show and an all-around good guy. It's Brett Hedekin. Hello, Brett. How are you doing today?
Hey, gals. How you doing? I'm doing good. Doing really good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know West Coast time, so we really appreciate it. And I'm sure things are getting really heated up with all the All-Star festivities and everything. So remind everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so I'm at Brett Hedekin on Twitter, and then at Brett Hedekin also on Instagram. So either one of those or Facebook, the same thing. Just my real name, and it's all there together. Fortunately, I was one of those guys that got my name early on, and it's all good.
And yeah, I'd be remiss to mention, and we mentioned it in the tease in our first segment, two-time Olympian, Stanley Cup champion, and analyst for NBCSN and the San Jose Sharks. So let's kind of jump in to, we haven't had a chance to speak with you yet, and you guys kind of won the trade lottery with Erik Karlsson, and he's really kind of melded well with, from what we see. You know, we just see a couple games, we don't get to see all the practices, but he seems to really have melded well with the roster.
He really has, and I think it was a little bit of a slow start, like most players when they're with one organization, you know, drafted by that organization. And you know, obviously with Erik Karlsson, even one step further, was the captain and really the player that drove that team, you know, up in Ottawa. And all of a sudden you're picked up, you know, you picked up and moved on the other side of the coast to San Jose, and it took him some time. I will say, you know, he had a hard adjustment, and that just is normal for any player, I think, going through a situation like that. I've been traded a few times in my career, and you know, anytime you're in a new environment trying to kind of earn stripes within the locker room and with the players, it just takes some time. But, you know, without question, he has settled in. And you look at, you know, previous to these two games that he hasn't had a point, but previously the 14 before, he had, you know, those appearances, all 14 of them that he came in, he had an assist, and not just one assist in each game. He added up to 24 of them and 25 points altogether for Erik Karlsson. So just a tremendous, you know, stretch of games for him where the game just looked really easy. I mean, everything that he was doing was effortless, and you're starting to see what makes this guy a two-time Norris Trophy winner. So it's I think the Sharks are excited to have him, but boy, they're going to have a tough thing to try to sign him. I know a lot of teams will probably want to, you know, give him the money that he's going to, you know, be able to get on the open market.
So you're saying that he's melding well and everything, and you know, he's starting to show that, you know, the tremendous talent that he has. But I just, every time I look at the San Jose roster, I'm just blown away. I mean, Brent Burns, Joe Thornton, Evander Kane, Joe Pavelski. I mean, it goes on and on. It's such a veteran team for you to say, like, now you're, you know, he's starting to gel and we're starting to see. I mean, that's a really, really talented team. I think I don't want to jinx anything, but I think there's a couple of Hall of Famers on that roster right now. How's he fit in? I want to know specifically with Brent Burns, who I think is by far one of the best defensemen in the league and has been for a very long time.
Yeah, Brent Burns is having a terrific season, and there was a great celebration in last night's game. I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but the Sharks did for his 1,000th game, and he came through the Shark Head with his son, Jagger, and his family was there, his mom and dad. Just a tremendous, I thought the Sharks did a terrific job with it. But you're right, Brent Burns, you know, you look at what he does off the ice, and he takes care of himself like nobody I've ever seen, his nutrition, his sleep. just the way he trains, all of those things. And then you add this one element that not a lot of guys have, the love for the game. I mean, he's the first guy on the ice every morning, him and Joe Pavelski, and they're out there shooting pucks and tipping them. I mean, if you want to see guys working on their crafts every day, you just have to watch Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns. I mean, these guys there's a reason why they're some of the best players in the NHL, is because the way they work at it. But getting to your question with Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, they play on separate, you know, pairs, if you will. Burns has been playing with Radim Šimek, a young Czech kid. He's only played 18 games in the NHL. He's playing just terrific. And Erik Karlsson's been playing with Brendan Dillon. And that pair, for me, has been really fun to watch this season. Brendan Dillon leading the team at plus-minus now at plus 21. But Erik Karlsson and Burnsy will play some shifts together. The coaching staff puts them out there, not only on the power play sometimes together, but also some five-on-five shifts. So it's really exciting. Even though they're both right-handed shots, one has to play the offside, and typically they'll put them in an offensive zone start situation where if they win a face-off, they've got the one-time situation. But it's really cool to see that these two players can basically play the whole game. One's going to be on the ice at some point during the whole period. I mean, it's just like these guys are playing 30 minutes a night, and they do it effortlessly because of the way Karlsson can skate, and Brent Burns is just a beast. I mean, he can skate well, too, and his conditioning makes him in 30 minutes easily be able to play it. So a lot of fun to watch these two guys come together.
So the season this far with the San Jose Sharks, I think the whole Western Conference has been really interesting, but especially for the Sharks, because I mean, it's a very, very tight race over on the left coast. It's not so tight on the Eastern Conference side, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. But on your, how interesting has it been, I want to say, to have it be as tight as it has? It's literally mere points separating, you know, who's getting in and who's not making the playoffs. And what have you seen from the San Jose Sharks that makes this feel different this year? Because they're always fighting, and they're a great team. So what's making it feel this season make feel differently?
Well, I think when you brought up Erik Karlsson, that sweepstakes of getting him, it makes it feel a lot different. I mean, you know, you've got Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson, and then you got Justin Braun and Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Their decor is as strong as any defensive core in the league. I think they lead the NHL in points as a defensive core. And then if you just add Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns points, I think they have 92 points combined with Burnsy and just Erik Karlsson.
That's amazing.
If you were to add up, yeah, it's amazing. If you add up all of the points to every defense core in the NHL, those two guys have outscored 17 teams alone.
Jeez. Wow.
Oh, my God. They know they're defensemen, right?
Yeah. They do know they're defensemen, but that's not in their DNA just to sit back and just play defense. I mean, they do find a way to just create offense with just their ability. But so what's different about this team is just the confidence they have in their defense core and the ability to make plays from their back end. I think the reason why they're having success right now through the stretch of hockey where they've won six in a row, they've won seven of their last eight, they're the hottest team in the NHL. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were rolling into SAP Center on a seven-game winning streak. The Sharks beat them. Then they had to go into Vegas. They were on a seven-game winning streak, and the Sharks beat them in Vegas. So this team is playing the best hockey of their season. But the one thing that they've been doing, I think, as good as any team in the NHL, is breaking the puck out so efficiently that they're just not spending any time in their defensive zone. Mm-hmm. And with that, with all the offensive weapons that they have, as you mentioned, Kane, Thornton, Tomáš Hertl is having a breakout season, I believe. Timo Meier,
yeah,
another player, having a breakout season. Logan Couture.
Oh, you didn't even name Logan. And I love Logan Couture, and I totally didn't even name him.
Yes. I mean, he's quietly having a terrific season as well. But I really think this team is drive through their defensive core and the way they break the puck out.
We're speaking with Brett Hedekin, ex-NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, and analyst for the San Jose Sharks and NBCSN. So you brought it up. You had to bring it up. One of the one of the few games that the Lightning have lost was against the Sharks in San Jose a couple months ago. We meet again in Tampa at the end of this week, and your team is still playing like lights out. You're one of the few teams that really scare me. that we don't actually get to see that often. But when I see you guys come up on the schedule, I start to worry a bit. So, what are you looking? Because you're on the West Coast, looking kind of the opposite way that we look. We don't see each other a lot, but the Lightning. Your thoughts on the Lightning as, you know, being with another team. We always say that we're going to get the best that other teams have every time we meet them, whether we're in their building or they're in our building. So kind of how do you see the Lightning as their play has gone this year?
Well, I love the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if there's any team that scares the Sharks, it's Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay, good. Well, feeling's mutual.
The feeling is 100% mutual. I mean, you look at the 70 points that the Tampa Bay Lightning have, and they have blown through the NHL. And I think the Sharks caught a little bit of a break where, you know, they're on the road, Tampa, and it was an 8 o'clock game start, which is rare. I think they had the national championship football game the other day on that Monday night. And so the reason why the game was at 8 is because during the day they had the media day at SAP Center. So they had to push the game up to 8. So really, in theory, it was an 11 o'clock start time for these guys
you
know, from the East Coast. So I'm not going to make an excuse for the Tampa Bay Lightning because the Sharks have had plenty of situations this year and they travel too. But I think it'll be a different environment, you know, obviously when they come to Tampa Bay next week, and it'll be a lot of fun. But when you really break it down, these two teams are really mirror images. They have good goaltending, not good, just great, I should say. And then you look at their defense, and really Victor Hedman for me is just one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Just the way he can control the game, I just love watching this guy play. But he's so efficient breaking the puck out as well. So I think that's where these two teams are pretty similar, is that their decors are good and allows those forwards' talent to really come to the forefront. And obviously Kucherov leading the way is a lot of fun.
Do you feel like it's going to be like a tennis match where they're just back and forth through the races? Or you think it's going to be like a neutral zone clog up because of those teams and how well they break out the puck? Are they just going to try to clog up the neutral zone?
Well, it's easier said than done, right?
I know.
I mean, these two teams are so skilled. I mean, I was blown away at how quickly the Tampa Bay Lightning can just navigate through that neutral zone, even through all the bodies, and how quickly they make things happen in the offensive zone. So you can try all you want to shut down teams like the Sharks and Tampa Bay in the neutral zone, but you know what? They just find a different way to beat you. And so, in order to beat teams like this, you have to be ready. And that's why when you mentioned just a second ago that you get other teams' best, is because if you don't bring your best against Tampa, you're going to get embarrassed. And it's the same with the Sharks when they're playing well.
All right. So, I don't know. I'm probably going to need like some anxiety medication or something for this game, because I feel like it could be a preview of what we might see
down the line.
Boy, I would love to see that. I'll tell you what, I think it'd be amazing. And for Tampa to be, you know, up 3-2 against Washington, and then just they couldn't score a goal. I don't know what happened in Game 6 and 7, and Washington beats them and goes on to win the Stanley Cup. It's just, but those are things that make you better as a player.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tampa's thinking about that a lot over the course of the summer, and they're hungry. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like the Tampa Bay Lightning are hungry. They want to win. And it's going to be other teams' job to try to take it away from them, but it's going to be very hard to do.
But when you look at the San Jose Sharks, I can say the exact same thing about them. You look at these players, like I said, I mean, I think there's just a lot of Hall of Famers on that team. And to me, they could have their own all-star game. Like, the San Jose Sharks don't have to host it. It doesn't have to be hosted by San. I mean, to me, they are. I've always respected them. I've always really loved watching them play, but I feel the same way. You look at these guys that gotten so close and have had to go through, you know, a lot of adversity with different coachings and you know, Father Time's kind of catching up a little bit. I mean, I think this could be the year that they're like, you know, it's now or never for us too.
Yeah, I agree. This is the year for them to. I think they're all in. You know, I mean it. You're right. You just have to look through their roster and see that Father Time. And with Joe Thornton, is obviously just played his 900th. Well, he played his 1,000th game as a Shark. I mean
that
started his career in Boston.
Get out of here.
He played 400 some games there, and now he just played his full 1,000 now with the Sharks last night. So it's just the longevity of this guy, and he continues to, you know, just add offense. But he's on that third line now. But guess who's on his wingers? I mean, Joe Pavelski and Marcus Sorensen. So they've got, you know, guys that through their lineup, they've got depth. And with the, that experience that you see with Joe Thornton, you know, on your third line, essentially, is something that says, hey, this team is ready to take that next step to try to win a cup. And being there a few years ago against Pittsburgh and losing was a tough one to take as well. But they knew they had to regroup, adding Erik Karlsson and Evander Kane now. They think they're ready to take a strike, another strike at it.
And I think if these two teams do meet, I think it would be maybe one of the better hard fought. Obviously, I can't really say humble opinion because I'm not sounding very humble about this. But I think if these two teams met in the final, I think this would be by far one of the most incredibly exciting and really technically sound Stanley Cup final, complete Stanley Cup finals we've seen in a long time.
Just the skill level alone in the lineup. You're right. A couple of all-star teams, essentially, with the way Tampa's constructed and obviously with the way the Sharks are as well. So, yeah, boy, if we saw this, I would be ecstatic to see Tampa in the absolute Stanley Cup Finals. And I'm sure the Sharks would take another shot at it as well. So both these teams are hungry for one. Obviously, Tampa won that Stanley Cup in 2004. They've got one in their back pocket. It's the one thing that the Sharks, it's eluded them. And I'm telling you what, they want that cup bad.
I'll tell you what, the travel would be brutal, though. And we don't have to travel with the team, but I would be like, poor Brett.
It would be bad. But, you know, I remember, well, 94, I was on the Vancouver team that had to play the Rangers. And so we were going coast to coast playing the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals. And we went all the way to Game 7 and lost. But that was torture, I remember. But, you know what, you're not thinking about that when you've got the cup on the line. You're thinking about one thing and that moment. I tell you, you're right. It would be a fun Stanley Cup to watch.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with more from our guest, Brett Hedekin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory, and we are continuing with our guest, Brett Hedekin, ex-NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, two-time Olympian, all-around good guy, and also now working with the San Jose Sharks as an analyst and for NBCSN as well. So we kind of talked about our team's meeting later in the week, but let's talk about, because it's kind of interesting how we were the hosts of the NHL, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, not us.
Oh, I didn't do anything. was the host of the NHL All-Star Game last year, and you guys are getting ready to have it roll through town this season. Can you kind of give us any insight into what, you know, the buzz around the city?
Yeah, no, the city's excited, and I think, you know, the Sharks, our broadcast has been pumping it, you know, almost since the beginning of the season. Maybe, you know, first 10 games, not so much. But then since that point, talking it up on every broadcast, making sure people are aware of it. And, you know, now that it's right around the corner, I mean, it's there's a lot of buzz happening downtown San Jose. The team is obviously excited about getting it. And all the security is kind of getting ready. You can just see the little things starting to happen, you know, like the Beehive starts to get a little bit active. But I think all in all, the San Jose Shark fans are extremely proud of their building. They're extremely proud of their team, and they're all in with regard to being a hockey fan. So it's a great venue that they're excited about having the best players in the world come to visit San Jose for the All-Star team. So or All-Star game, excuse me. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've got a couple Lightning players that will be attending. Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, and Andre Vasilevsky, who's now going to be filling in for Carey Price, who's unable to attend due to an injury. But there has been, you know, some buzz around Alexander Ovechkin kind of declining his invite. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit as far as, you know, fans that aren't Washington Capitol fans, kind of outside looking in, having the game here last year. He was in attendance. But what has kind of been the overall feeling in San Jose with the fans there about that?
Well, you know, I'm sure they'd be a little bit disappointed that they're not going to be able to see Alexander Ovechkin and one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League. And you know, it's a tough situation. You know, I understand that, you know, playing in the Stanley Cup Finals takes a lot out of you. You know, the summer Obviously, with those guys, it seemed like they really enjoyed themselves with all the partying that they did. But that being said, once the season starts again, you're right back into that grind. And it's very demanding on your body and your mind, especially when you don't have that time to really get the break that you probably need to be able to go back and be ready for another NHL hockey grind of 82 games, so, and then playoffs. But, you know, if he's 100% healthy, it's disappointing that he would decline, you know, just for the pure fact of rest. I mean, he could definitely get rest while he's here. It's not a real demanding thing, I would imagine. The All-Star game, I mean, it's, you know, yeah, the one day you're playing the game is going to be a little bit fatiguing, but, you know, obviously the Friday skills competition is going to be a lot of fun. But,
yeah,
you know, again, I've never been in a situation where I've had to be on an All-Star team. I wasn't that type of player, but so I can't criticize him too bad. But I think all in all, if he needs the break and that's just what he's deciding to do, then it's unfortunate that that affects him more than anybody else is his reputation.
And now, you just said that you alluded to that you didn't get to play in the All-Star, but you did play in the Stanley Cup. And so your first person perspective, how difficult is that follow-up season?
It's hard. I would say, you know, I played in three Stanley Cup finals and I lost two and won the one, and every one of them was difficult and every one was demanding on your brain, especially as that summer is so short.
I mean,
having 3-4 months off, 5 months off if you don't make the playoffs, really gives your body a chance to start over. And then I think the mind, it gives you a chance to completely disengage from the game of hockey. And then as the season starts to get closer, you almost start to feel that in the summer where August, you kind of get your focus starts to get a little bit more narrowed. And you know that training camp is right around the corner, but you're ready for it. It almost feels like when you go to a cup final, you don't have that ability to completely shut down and then recharge back up. You're just always right there. And so mid-season, you start to feel like, wow, my brain, my body is really fatigued, and you have to drive through that. But this is the life we've chosen, and you know, it's not like we can change midstreams and say, I want to become a rocket scientist. You know, we're all into the so all in all, it's one of those things you got to adapt to.
Yeah, and you guys are not really, it's so funny when they're like sending three players to the, well, it's in your city, but Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, and Joe Pavelski will all be in attendance for the All-Star festivities in San Jose. I will say that it was a joy to see Brent Burns here last year for the All-Star game. He's, not only is he an amazing player to watch, but he's just, gosh, entertaining. he's got this larger than life personality, which I'm sure really is a huge thing in the locker room. But can you kind of, because you see him on a regular basis, can you just kind of speak to his personality, not as a hockey player, but just as a human being?
Yeah, with him, you know, really supporting the military and the way he is passionate about supporting military families, for me is inspiring. You look at the way, again, I mentioned earlier, the fact that, you know, on top of having the ability to take care of himself the way he does, he's not one of those guys that's out partying. He's not a guy that, is burning the candle, if you will, at both ends. I mean, he's a guy that's getting good rest. He's you can always see him in the back of the plane, making sure he's got the compressors on his legs and all the other things as far as nutritionally as well. He eats really good meat, if you will, off his own ranch. He gets, meat that he from good beef that's grass-fed. And he just, those are the types of things this guy's doing. But on top of all of that, as I mentioned earlier, is just his pure love for the game. If you watch him in practice, he's out there, he's laughing, he's smiling, he's keeping guys light. He just loves what he does. And I don't think there's any other thing that he was born to do than to play hockey. And I think one of those guys that realizes that this is what he was made to do and he has fun doing it, boy, you're going to be able to do that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see him, I think, get better. I think his best days are still ahead of him.
Wow.
I believe that playing. Yes, I really do. I think he's continuing to improve his game defensively. His offensive game has very marginally been able to improve from where he already is. So mm-hmm. That's something that he's already at a high level, but I think his defensive game has gotten better this year. And when that gets better, I'm telling you what, look out.
Okay, that's terrifying. if you're a fan of another team, it's just terrifying. He's only 33 years old, and you're saying that he's just going to get better from here. I mean, that's huge.
Well, I'll be honest with you. At 36, I felt that was my best year of my career as a defenseman. So, I mean, if he's only 33, he's got another 3 years potentially that he could continue to improve defensively. So I think defensemen get better as they age. I really do.
They're like fine wine of hockey. They get better as they get older.
And we see Anton Stralman still play at a top level. He doesn't get talked about a lot, you know, because of Victor Hedman and things like that. But, I mean, you know, you look at, on you know, Stralman, and you just look at it and go, you know, he could probably play another 5 years if he wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Love the way Stralman plays. Your decor is so solid. And you can really mirror it back to the San Jose Sharks defensive core. They're the two best, I think, in the NHL, or right up there.
Well, two very similar teams in the way they're made up and the way that they play. Can't wait to see them meet up again on the ice later this week. Brett, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. Remind everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yes, on social media, just at Brett Hedekin on Twitter and at Brett Hedekin at Instagram. That's where you can find me. And then obviously doing the San Jose Sharks broadcast. I do the TV and also the radio. We kind of go back and forth between Jamie Baker and I. So, yeah, we're kind of a team out there in San Jose.
Well, thank you so much, Brett, and we will catch you at the rink.
All right, look forward to seeing you guys shortly up in Tampa Bay.
So I know we say this every time we wrap up with a guest, but he's such a good dude. Love speaking with him. Yeah. So knowledgeable. I mean, an ex-player, mm-hmm. ex-Olympian.
Ex-Olympian. And he's just very kind to us. And
Stanley Cup champion.
He's always been super, super nice.
Yeah. We still have not met in person. So I'm hoping
every time he's here, something weird happens.
Yeah.
But
we're going to try this time.
We're going to really try.
Maybe we'll get a photo for our socials, our Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll put it on the Twitter.
Yeah, but, you know, when he was talking about the All-Star, you know, it's interesting because we always say it. Everybody talks about it. After you win a Stanley Cup, the season after, but it's always people that don't really know.
Right.
We're guessing. We're assuming they're tired.
I mean, I'm tired after a Stanley Cup.
But
like,
to hear why. No. And it was an answer
it's more mental than physical, it sounds like.
It never dawned on me.
Yep.
The mental break you get.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think some of it is kind of a little bit of the hunger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen our guys, you know, we see them go pretty far.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen them, you know, be exited early and them, you know, really having that, you know, that mindset of like, no, next year. And we saw them after 2015
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Brett Hedekin. Victor Hedman
right.
Had said right after they were coming back that he went to Sweden for 2 weeks for break. And that was like the only break he had. If everybody remembers, Tyler Johnson went home to Washington and his parents wanted to watch the Stanley Cup again. And he was like, nope, don't want to watch it. And you just realize like that's the only time they had. They had 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That was their break because they have to come here. They all don't live here.
Right.
Some do. But they have, you know, homes, other places. And they have to pack their stuff. They have to get their family. They have to do all these other things. They literally have 2 weeks before it's get back to it.
Yeah.
Time to condition. Time to start on this again. And it's crazy. So to hear, like, you know, when you have those 5 months off, like Brett said, you're like, wow, yeah, it is a mental break. And everybody needs that.
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to sit as fans and look and go, well, you're a hockey player. Get it together. We want you starting right. You know, you almost won the Stanley Cup or you didn't win the Stanley Cup, but we deserve, you know, you right. better come out playing lights out. Give them a break. You get a 2 week vacation. Let them have a break.
Yeah.
So it was just, it's so fascinating. It never dawned on me all this years of my life. Decades and decades I've been alive. The season after it sounds more mental than physical.
Just remember a couple more decades than me. No, not a couple. I always like to remind you, don't forget. But, you know, Alex Ovechkin, he's been no slump playing.
Mm-hmm.
since he started this season, 32 goals already so far on the year as we record this.
I'm just tired of him. I'm channeling my inner CT now.
At me complimenting him and you're like, I'm sick of him.
I said it, you know what? He won a cup and now we never have to hear about it again. So now I'm like, you know what? Over you.
I'm tired of it. Over it.
Over it. Even though Kucherov is blowing the points out of the water this year. Yeah. I mean, this guy over here. But, you know, this team is just...
Yeah, the Buffalo game, there was an amazing grab off of an opposing player by Steven Stamkos to Nikita Kucherov right between the hash marks. And his release, it was like an ice ballet.
Yeah.
With pucks and sticks. It was, the release was just so natural.
He's so smooth.
And so quick. And I know what I looked like trying to play hockey a couple years ago, and it was just not none of those things.
It was not Nikita Kucherov.
No. And that's the thing. They make it look so easy where I could sit there as a fan and go, I could do that until I tried.
Yeah.
And then I'm like crawling on the ice because I can't stay upright because of all the padding and all. I mean, the strength of these guys is just.
And to see them move. The Nikita Kucherovs, I mean, the top tier players, you know, and
which we have so many.
I was just about saying, we've got a lot of them. Just, you know, I think this is such an exciting time to start being a fan of hockey if you're not.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned it a few times that, you know,
there's no other sport happening right now. The Bucks are done for the year.
But even the people that became a fan at the Stanley Cup year, that was only a few years, but. You know, our friend Dan Lucas said it. We're very spoiled, and we're very spoiled when we look at the talent that this team has. I'll tell you, if you are new to hockey, new to being, you know, an NHL fan, maybe last year in the All-Star game, maybe that really sparked your interest. Maybe it revved your engine and you want to just love hockey or whatever.
Or even if you're a transplant from another city and you have a favorite team, cool. But you need to make sure you check out this happening three times a week on the ice in downtown Tampa.
This doesn't happen
it's
everywhere.
It's a clinic.
It doesn't happen everywhere. And I think sometimes it gets where it's very short-sighted and look at it. And it's easy to nitpick when things aren't going perfectly. But I think it's hard to appreciate how much talent this is. But when you watch an All-Star game, now last year was a little more exciting for us.
Yes.
Because it was here.
Yes.
But when you watch this in San Jose when the All-Star game, watch everybody else playing. Forget, don't watch Nikita. Don't watch Cooch. Don't watch Steven Stamkos. Don't watch, you know, Vasilevsky and Net. Watch everybody else. And I think you could go, I think Braden Point's better than that guy. Hey, you know what? You know,
Yanni Gord, he's better than that guy.
You're going to say it because we're so used to watching these guys.
Right. It's nice to have some kind of comparison. And I think, you know, like we said, it's so easy to take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Where the Lightning Carolina game at home last week, I'm sitting there going, I could go home now. They're not going to show up. Why should I? And then they come back and they win. Like they did in like 10 minutes left of the game. I think it at least made me stop and think, hey, you ungrateful human being. you're getting to sit in a seat and watch these top tier talented players play every night that they're in town. Give them a break. Give them a break. I know people get mad about that because they're professional athletes. It's their job. But give them a break. They might have an off night here or there. But they're going to still figure out a way to win. Mm-hmm. It's just mind-blowing. I feel like we say it every week, but it's just one of those things where every time you see them play, they do something, whether it's just a small little play or picking up a puck in the neutral zone or stripping another player on the other team or a stop that Vasilevsky makes that ends up being in a replay on sports TV or whatever. And you just get used to it.
You do.
And, you know, even hearing Brett Hedekin talk about it, how much he loves the Lightning, how good of a team. It's a nice reminder that, yes, we are a good team. Duh.
Yeah.
But seeing it through another person's eyes that maybe doesn't get to see them every night in person, it kind of hits home. And I know I sound like a homer. I know. Get mad at me. It's fine. It's on Lightning Power Play, so it's going to be a little bit homer. But when you're the best team in the league by far, first team to break 70 points, on pace to have over 130 points this season.
Which would be a record by a bit.
Yeah.
A bit.
You know, there's a lot that can happen in the months leading up to the end of the season and before the playoffs start.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a huge accomplishment for a team that was knocked out.
Yeah.
Where they were by the Stanley Cup winners.
Winners.
So
champions.
I know. You're like, don't bring them up again.
I'm over Ovechkin.
Over Ovechkin.
I'm
okay.
Over him.
All right. Well, then hopefully we'll...
Well, you know what? Steven Stamkos deserves a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to play everybody else's little role there. Steven Stamkos deserves it.
Well, that was one of the things
so does
I
Victor
heard.
Hedman.
That was one of the things I heard in the offseason that really ticked me off. It was on NHL radio, and they were talking about, you know, Ovechkin was always the guy that, you know, was one of those amazing players that the league always highlighted. He just didn't have a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he has a cup. So who's that player? And somebody opened their mouth and said Steven Stamkos. And I wanted to reach through my console in my car.
No, I think that's... I've heard that for a while, that now it's Stamkos' turn.
Why does it have to be anybody?
Because people want to complain. And they want to be negative. And they negatively pick things to say. And the only negative thing they can say about Steven Stamkos...
Is he doesn't
have a cup. Well, what else are you going to say? He's a phenomenal human being. He's a great... leader. He's one of the best shooters the game has ever had. You know, sniper, everything.
Yeah.
He's a great teammate. He leads by example. We love him here. He doesn't mind at 18 deciding, I'm the face of the franchise. I'm the face of the franchise. I will never disappoint you. I will hold true to this. I will be a good person. I will have good character. I'll be a good leader. He's done all those things.
Yeah.
The only thing he hasn't done is raise the cup.
Okay.
He's a Hall of Fame player.
Okay.
So I think that's, I get it.
Okay.
I think he's more going for him than Ovechkin. I'll say that all around.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
No. He's got way more going for him. He's a good person. He's got a great character. He's a wonderful leader. And I think the only thing you can say is he doesn't have a cup.
Okay.
For now.
And for now, I think that's it from us. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to our guest, Brett Hedekin with the San Jose Sharks and ex-NHLer, Stanley Cup champion. We can't wait to see him at the rink this week. And we will be back next week with a brand new edition of Game Misconduct. Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Thanks so much and catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.